Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I do intend for us to spend some time waiting on the Lord tonight, really with our text coming out of Ezekiel chapter 37. I think it's one of the most startling, stark passages in all of Scripture. And it's packed with a lot of truth. And so it's one of these passages that theologians tend to argue about all of, you know, in a spirit of collaboration, but tend to point out all of the nuances of it and all of the ramifications of it, which is a beautiful thing. And I think there are many facets to this passage of Scripture. But one of the most compelling to me is that it speaks to the fact that we serve a God who brings the dead to life. I'm glad that we serve a God. I know a God who brings the dead to life. In Ezekiel 37, you come to a situation just contextually so you understand in which the children of Israel have been exiled. They're living in exile in Babylon. So foreign power has overtaken them and driven them out of their land. And it's in this context that God comes and he begins to speak to the prophet Ezekiel, because Israel is living in the middle of hopelessness. Absolutely all hope has been sucked from them. For the situation, you know, is not good. God had said to them when he called the children of Israel, when he formed them as a people and as a nation, he said, you know what, I'm gonna make some promises to you, and there are some things I wanna do for you. There are some gifts I wanna give you. And he said, I'm gonna give you land, and I'm gonna give you national identity, and I'm gonna give you descendants, and I'm gonna give you freedom, and all of these are gifts. But if you turn away from me, if you move out of that covenant relationship, then things are not going to go well, and they hadn't gone well. And the story of Israel is that they did turn away. If you know your Bible, then you know the Old Testament sadly is a record of their faults and their failings and their idolatry. And so the Babylonians invaded Israel and they took the people into captivity, and there really was no hope for the future. And you come to Ezekiel chapter 37, it says in verse 1, and the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? It's an interesting question. I mean, stop and just think about the setting. If God took you in the spirit to a valley, it was a big valley, and he says the entire surface of the valley was covered with human bones. So there are piles of skulls and femurs, metatarsals and rib cages. And he's just looking out. He's looking out over this sea of, I mean, you think of the picture is of annihilation. The picture is very apocalyptic. The picture is very stark, very sad, very alarming. And this is the scene that he takes Ezekiel to. And I think probably the first question we should ask is, why would God take Ezekiel to a valley filled with bones? And bones that they've been sitting here for a while. Ezekiel says they were very dry. And the reason that God brings Ezekiel to this valley is because this is a picture of where Israel is at. That the land, that the hope, that the future, that the heritage, that the legacy, that the gifts of God, they've just been all picked away at. And now Ezekiel is staring at a literal valley of dry bones that is a figurative, profoundly strong figurative image of where Israel lives at, where they stand, that the nation is really just has become a heap of dry bones. And their land had been taken, it had been desolated. The nation had been overrun by a kingdom that is multiple times larger than the nation of Israel. So any sense of national identity has really eroded. They're probably on the brink of forgetting that they even are a people. They've been in exile for a while now. They're actually witnessing the death of the nation. But here's the thing. God takes Ezekiel to this valley and he says, this is a picture of Israel. They are a heap of dry bones. And then he says, son of man, can these dry bones live? Which is an interesting question when you apply it to not only Israel's story, but the situations that you and I face, because every one of us knows situations, every one of us encounters situations, every one of us has felt what it's like to honestly look out at an aspect or area of our life or relationship or situation or decision and go, there's no hope for that. There is, because what Ezekiel is looking at as a picture of the nation of Israel, there's no hope for if you had a valley of dry bones, there's not a lot you can do with that. But God's question to him is, can these dry bones live? And I want us to take some cues from the prophet Ezekiel, because his response to that question really gives us some marching orders as we're looking at situations tonight that are totally hopeless, beyond repair, and really amount to a lifeless heap of dry bones that we have no power to do anything about. And the first thing I want you to notice is this. What do you do in the valley of dry bones? The first is, remember what God can do. Because the first issue is, God asks the question. He says, son of man, can these bones live? When God looks at you in your situation and he asks you, hey, I know that it looks bad. I know that it's hopeless. I know that it's beyond repair. I know that. Can it live? What will you say? Look at what Ezekiel says, verse 3. He said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, oh, Lord God, you know. I love how the New Living Translation puts it. Then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? Oh, sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. In other words, what commentators and scholars say that he is saying back to God is, the only way these dry bones can live is if the sovereign creator God brings them to life. Which is indicative of the fact that Ezekiel believes God can do it. Here's the thing you and I can never lose sight of. No matter how dry and barren and desolate the situation is, no matter how badly it's deteriorated, there is always a God who can bring the dry bones to life. Always, 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 always. God can always bring those bones back to life. He can always turn them into a living thing. He can always do it. Oh, sovereign Lord, only you know. God, I can't do that, but you could. We got to start by remembering that God can do, what he can do, how powerful he is, how mighty he is. And here's the thing. I think that point shows up in so many biblical accounts and stories, can be drawn out of so many, because we are so prone to forget what God can do. He can make the dry bones live. But I want you to notice where it goes from there. Not only do we need to remember what God can do, but then the call from that is to speak faith, to speak in faith. You notice that God in his vision, how does he command Ezekiel to move from that point? Does God like say, okay, well, you're right. I am the only one who can make those dry bones live. Live. Is that the way it happens? Does he snap his fingers? Does he just, you know, certainly he could. He could do that. No, what he does, and I want you to notice this, he asks Ezekiel, who is a preacher, to preach to the bones. He says this in verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know what? There is something powerful in every one of our situations. When you think it's gone, when you think it's lost, when you think it's beyond repair, and you remember what God can do, when you say, I'm not just going to remember what God can do, but now I'm going to put that on my lips. That is going to be the declaration of my life. God, you can, and I think it's so interesting. God says, speak to the dry bones. Reminds me of the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 11, because Jesus says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, in other words, it's the words again. It's what you say. So many of us believe, we would say, I believe God can do it, but it's nowhere to be found in our vocabulary. It's all about the problem and nothing about God's power to change it. And not just God's power to change it, but that he will do it. How nuts do you have to be standing in a valley of dry bones and saying, okay, here it goes. Really, you want me to preach to all these bones? Yes, I do. Really? But I'm going to look like a nutcase. No, you're supposed to preach a full sermon. Okay. How nuts do you have to feel to be speaking to a lifeless, hopeless, barren situation and saying, okay, these dry bones are going to be living, breathing people, and I'm declaring that, I'm going to preach that to the situation. Some of us need to get a hold of this, because there are situations, and all we're good at preaching to those situations is what we see about them in their current state, and not about what God is able to do in the midst of brokenness, devastation, and hopelessness. There's something powerful about saying, dry bones live, mountain be moved. Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. That's a good word. Speak in faith. The writer of Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 18 in verse 21. It's a good reminder. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. There's a creative power that our words have when they are uttered in faith, that they marshal the forces of heaven. There's something about speaking in faith. There's something about speaking. When God has spoken to you, when God has promised you, when God has called you not to shrink back, not to give up, not to lose hope, when you say, I won't lose hope, and the evidence of me not losing hope will be that I talk as if God, what he has said has already been done. Not that it's someday way out in the distant future. You're saying, well, I don't know when he's going to do it. Start speaking as if it's already been done in Jesus' name. Dry bones live. Mountain be moved. Speak in faith. There's a power. Get a hold of your words. Start declaring. And I would say it's not only powerful to speak to the situation, but also start speaking to yourself. There's something really moving and reorienting to say, okay, I'm not going to talk like that. You know, get up in the morning and as you get ready, say, God is my helper. God is my shield. God is going to go before me. God is changing the situation. What I can't see with my eyes is happening because he is moving it along by his spirit. And I'm going to walk by faith today, and I'm not going to walk by sight, and I'm not going to let the devil speak to me, and I'm not going to let the voice of the enemy dominate me. I'm going to listen to something different. You got to tell yourself to do that. and the Spirit of God lives in you. So when you're saying, well, man, I feel a little bit weird talking to myself, that is the voice of the Holy Spirit on your lips. Don't feel weird about it. Give voice to the Spirit of God and the Spirit's power in your life. Speak in faith. But now where does it go from there? Step out in obedience. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound. Behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. You know, notice that Ezekiel, as soon as he begins to speak in faith, as soon as he begins to operate in obedience, it produces immediate results. There's some of you saying, well, I'm operating in obedience and I'm not seeing results. No. I don't care what you're seeing. You need to trust God with that. I don't care what I'm seeing. I believe that as I begin to speak in faith and walk by faith and step out in obedience, that God is moving already. He's already doing it. Something is happening, even if I can't see it. It's happening. Because bold, obedient faith always produces immediate results. It always begins moving. I love this. It says, go back to verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, as he spoke, as he stepped out in faith with his words, as he was obedient to the voice of God, it happened as he was speaking. Don't discount what God is doing under the surface of your life. Don't discount how God is responding to your obedience. Don't discount, because God is working. God is moving. The miracle's taking place, and God will always work in response to faith-filled obedience. He will always work. So trust him to do it. And notice, when I skip ahead in the passage, it's the fourth reality about the situation that I think is really moving and encouraging. And that is, see God reveal himself in a new way. Verse 14, the Bible says, well, God says, I will put my spirit in you and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. What I love about this is he says, then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. Did they not already know the voice of God? Had they not already heard the voice of God? Could they not recognize the voice of God? No, I think they knew the voice of God. I think they recognized it. But part of what God is saying to Ezekiel is that out of what's happened through this exile and me working through it in the midst of the valley of the dry bones, why would I let you walk through that? Why would I let this happen? Why would I let you stand in the midst of a situation that is desolate, barren? Why would I let you look out on a scene that is of annihilation and apocalyptic? Why would I let you do that? Because on the other side of that, you're going to know some things about me that you do not know now. There are some things that you will know about God, and there are some things that will be formed in your relationship with God as he lets you walk through what you'd prefer not to walk through and experience what you'd prefer not to experience. But he's going to show you some things about himself, and he's going to deepen your understanding of who he is so that you can walk with him and with a greater depth and a greater vitality than you ever could before, because you saw him speak. You saw him move. You saw him work in the midst of a very desperate, broken situation, and he came through. I love the fact that God, he doesn't waste our pain. He doesn't waste those situations. He's the God who brings the dead to life. He's the God who takes our brokenness and brings beauty. He's the God who never stops creating and recreating.